In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I've become aware of that probably for the last year or so, maybe even a little bit longer, a great deal of the content of my preaching has been focused on drawing a distinction between our deliberate Catholic lives and the world in which we find ourselves. It is a constant theme of mine, even longer than that, that we should never live comfortably or rightly in this world, because truly there is no place for us. As good as this may be, we know that there is something better in store for us, and that is that place that God has prepared for us in heaven. But it has also become abundantly clear that the age in which we live now is openly hostile to the truths of the faith. No longer are they sitting quietly, sitting off to the sides, waiting for an opportunity to pounce on us. Rather, instead, they have decided to come after us. At times subtle, other times not so subtle. The hostility to Catholicism particularly, not just Christianity in some generic sense, because in truth our separated brethren are in no sense a cause of concern for the modern world. Protestantism simply doesn't engender in anyone any fear or doubt, because it has so thoroughly cooperated with the world today that it really is hard to tell the difference between the two. That used to be true also for Catholicism. Very clear what it meant for us to be Catholic and how we were different from the rest of the world. And those of us who are authentically seeking to live traditional Catholicism will find ourselves more and more frequently under attack, not only from outside, those segments of society that have always been arrayed against us, but now that insidiousness has found its way into the life of the Church herself. There really is no safe haven or safe quarter. There is no place where one can go and hide under a rock, and hopefully all of this will simply pass us by. I often point this out. It indeed, as I have admitted, it is part of my preaching in those times when I do preach. But why is this significant? Why bring this to the fore? Because what is incumbent upon us, brothers and sisters, when we listen to the words of sacred scripture, or more importantly, we come forward to receive the living God, is that then knowing the world in which we live and the difficulties that we encounter and the way that we will have to labor to truly live our faith, knowing all of that, even more so then, must we be convicted of what is contained in sacred scripture and the content of our faith. And so our gospel today, the Lord tells us that it's not just enough not to physically kill. One cannot give in easily to anger. One cannot speak ill of his brother. The same judgment, that same fires of Gehenna, will be for those who destroy body and those who destroy the spirit. And what does this mean for us? Is that those very people in the life of the Church herself, who may be coming after us, are the very people that we are required to forgive. We must show them mercy and compassion, even in that precise moment when they are seeking to attack us, to disenfranchise us, to pull us away from the truths of Holy Mother Church, or to ask us to compromise in the world in which we live. We must still forgive. Not for good social order, not because I have said so, because it is part of the content of our faith. The thing about this, though, in truth, we know that at times it can be discouraging to live in the world in which we live. We become angry or frustrated or bewildered by the things that we hear coming out of the mouths of the Pope or bishops or priests. The things that they say that simply are not only not in content or in conflict, or are rather in conflict with the Church, but in themselves are heretical statements that simply have no place not only in Catholicism, have no place in Christianity at all. How does one make sense of all of this? All the debates now that are swirling around the reality of Catholic politicians and who should and shouldn't receive Holy Communion, and everyone weighing in on what is very clearly a simple, unconfused issue. If you do not believe in the truths of the faith, if you advance the culture of death, then you do not present yourself for Holy Communion. If you create public scandal by the manner in which you live your life, you do not present yourself for Holy Communion. I say this just in case there is any confusion in this place of prayer as to how we all should move forward. But this is being debated on the national and international level, weighing in on things that are particular to us and only us as Catholics. Protestants, so-called Catholic politicians, although, again, they are so caught up in the culture of death, they don't know actually who they are or what it is that they say, are speaking ill against us. We might then, at times, I will say I, at times, well up with anger. I well up with indignation, not fear, but a righteousness as to the position that I take and the manner in which I live my Catholic life. And these people simply should go away in one fashion or another, however God would bring that about. And then the Lord tells me in our gospel, not only to put aside violence to body, but to avoid violence to spirit as well. And I have to pause, and I have to ask myself, am I truly convicted of the things that I hear in Scripture? Do I truly believe the words that God is speaking to me? And am I seeking then to have my life conform to everything that Christ teaches and everything that Holy Mother Church teaches me? Because what she teaches us, brothers and sisters, is mercy and compassion and forgiveness and forbearance. Not just upon those that we like or with those with whom we agree. Those are the easy ones to get along with. It is the very people who seek to destroy us that we are required to forgive. And this is what separates us from the rest of the world, that contentiousness, that violence that wells up in the hearts of men, that hatred that oftentimes is so palpable, it almost is something you can taste in the air. We cannot allow that to infect us. Instead, we have to put aside any rancor or discord before we present ourselves to the altar of sacrifice and receive the living God. But let's make this even a little bit more uncomfortable for ourselves. Because it's easy to think in the large term of all of these people swirling around us. But when it applies to our families or this family of prayer, where there is any discord or separation, we must work diligently in order to remain one because we are one in Christ. We are not here because we like each other, although I think we do genuinely like each other. We're not here because we all think the same or dress the same or live in the same zip code, such as the beauty of the oratory. We take in the whole Archdiocese of St. Louis. What binds and holds us together, what actually makes us truly enjoy being with one another, is what takes place there on the altar of sacrifice. The living God himself is the one who binds and holds us together. He is the source of our joy and the source of our unity and the cause of our peace. If you think these are mere pious platitudes or merely interesting words coming out of my mouth, then this may not be the place for you, and certainly not to present yourself for Holy Communion. Because to come forward and to kneel and receive the living God is to commit yourself to the things of God, not my words, but God's words themselves. He is the one who convicts us. He is the one who will also give us strength when we fail. But he always encourages us not to remain steeped in sin and in failure, but through grace be lifted up and continue to move forward with him and through him and in him. And so, there is always the need for forgiveness and reconciliation and mercy. It always begins in our own hearts and in our own homes and in this beautiful place of prayer. And in that way, brothers and sisters, we can then go forth and we can endure whatever it is that the world will bring and hurl upon us. Not because things will become easy, but because we will be armed with the one reality that makes sense of everything else. This is real and true. God is real and true. The things that go on outside of here, they are a pale comparison to the living God that you are encountering now and the one that you are about to receive. And in that relationship, in that reality, you are armed and strengthened to do whatever it is that God commands you to do. And so think today, if there is indeed rancor or discord or separation in your family, and what you might do, whether it be in action or in heart, to bring about forgiveness, or if need be, to seek forgiveness. And then in that relationship, in those relationships, prepare yourself to go forth, yes, to preach the truth, and do so boldly, to encourage and exhort and admonish where it's necessary, but always to do so with charity and love and compassion and forbearance. They're not in conflict with each other. The preaching of the truth in a manner that is clear, but also doing so with great and profound love. This is how the world will be changed and transformed. Because bear in mind this, if you will just give me a few more minutes, The church has spent the lion's share of her existence in conflict with the world. And that makes perfect sense, because the world doesn't want what it is that we have to offer. And as long as we exist, as the prophet tells us, the Sirach tells us as well in Wisdom, the just man is a rebuke to the unjust. Those who embrace sin will not be content only to live sin, but to eradicate all of us who are seeking to live virtue. So there will never be a time where we can necessarily live simply in peace. But it doesn't have to mean that we're also constantly in a warlike posture and visage. Instead, we are staunchly moving toward the Lord, armed and prepared to do battle, if indeed we are called to do so, but not with the implements of men, but with the things that come from God. We should always rejoice, brothers and sisters, that we have opportunities to suffer with the Lord, to think back to the words of the Acts of the Apostles, that they themselves went away rejoicing, that they've been found worthy to suffer in the name of the Lord. Well, now the Lord is giving you a chance. Don't squander it by giving in to anger, frustration, bitterness, rancor. Instead, embrace and confront the world with the truth of Christ and the truth that saves. But do so with mercy, with patience, with joy, and the peace that comes from the heart of our Savior and from Him and Him alone. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.